It's all about barbecuing this next hour, and I am so looking forward to this conversation. We're heading into the Canada Day long weekend. A lot of people taking Monday off because Tuesday's Canada Day, so it's going to be a long weekend for many people, whether you're heading out to the lake, enjoying the sun, grilling on the barbecue, but maybe, and this is, I'm speaking to myself right here, your grill game could use some improvement. Maybe there's some tips that would help it make it that much better. Or maybe you just want to say, this is a recipe that I've worked on many times, but what could I do to make it better? That's where my next guest comes in. I'm looking forward to the next hour. Mike Arnold, who we've had on this program before, is the restaurant owner of a new restaurant in Regina called Smokin' Outlaws Barbecue. He is also a world champion barbecue pitmaster. Man, that's a good title to have. I can't imagine. Mike Arnold joining me in studio. How's it going, Mike?
Hey, it's going great.
So let's start about your restaurant first, because the last time you were in, we talked a lot about your competitive barbecuing skills. Now you've turned it into a restaurant, which is officially open, and I'm hearing nothing but great reviews that have been there. How's that been going for you?
It's exciting. People are coming. We're having a lot of fun in there. I think we're bringing a new experience to Regina and to the people of Saskatchewan that have come and joined us so far. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get better every day, and right now it's going really smooth.
So. It's called Smokin' Outlaws Barbecue, and you're on, what, 22 Block Dudney?
Yeah, 2044 Dudney.
2044 Dudney, okay. And so what do people get when they come into your restaurant? What's that experience like?
You know, we chose to go with a little more upscale sit down casual kind of service of a restaurant. It's got a super cool vibe where you could, you know, bring your girlfriend or wife for a nice date night. But we're serving authentic Texas style barbecue. And some of the dishes are a little bit of the Kansas style barbecue. So we've kind of, you know, meshed them two together.
What is the difference? Like, so you say that, like, I don't know the difference. What is the difference between the two?
Well, for me, in Texas, it's real simple flavors, salt and pepper, garlic. Super peppery. You'll see that on our beef ribs, our brisket, and our turkey. And then, you know, with Kansas City, it's a little more sweeter, a little back end heat, and a little more saucy.
Okay. Mike Arnold is our guest. So you have the distinction of being a world champion barbecue pitmaster. Let's relive. I know you've been in many barbecue competitions. Let's relive the biggest one. When did that title get bestowed upon you?
It was the fall of 2023. It was really a surreal moment for the most part. If I didn't have videos of it, I think I blacked out. It was super cool. You don't expect to be called when you're down at Kansas City with 500 other teams around the world. You're not expecting to be called first place. I mean, when we go down there, that's obviously everybody's goal. But when you hear your name called, it's definitely surreal.
Is Kansas City kind of a hub for this type of competition?
Yeah, I think Kansas City, and Texas, they both battle for who's got better barbecue. It's like the old Ford versus Chevy talk. You know, they're both fantastic. One thinks they're better than the other. So if you ask someone in Kansas City who's better, it's going to be Kansas City.
Gotcha. But okay, so it was 2023. Mike Arnold goes down, enters the competition. How many people would enter a competition like that?
I think the exact number was that day was 487 teams.
Holy. So are you bringing all everything, not just the food and ingredients, but you have to bring your own barbecue?
Yeah, you're bringing everything. You're bringing your meats, your barbecue, your wood. The interesting fact is I pulled in there with a rickety old 10-foot trailer. And when you pull up in these contests in the States, you know, some guy's got $250,000 barbecue cook trailers. And here I am pulling in from Saskatchewan. They're like, who's this guy?
But I love it though, right?
Yeah.
That kind of adds a bit of an underdog statement to this whole thing.
100% underdog. Yeah. Before that day, I was very unknown in the barbecue world. Now I can make phone calls to basically anywhere in Kansas and Texas and people answer them. They know who I am.
So. Mr. Arnold.
Yeah.
You're Mr. Arnold now. So would you enter in terms of a specific category? So you enter ribs or you enter brisket. Is that how it works?
Yeah, exactly. But to win the overall grand championship, you do have to enter into the brisket, the ribs, the chicken, and the pork. You could choose just to cook one or none of the other. But for, you know, if you want to go for that overall, you got to cook them all.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you did 2023. And how did each one turn out?
We really, really strong. We had a super strong finish. We ended up being the international grand champion at the event, as well as winning first place in the world.
Wow.
In the ribs,
and so. I remember the last time we had you in, Mike, we talked about it's less about the financial reward that comes. It's more about the, you get the trophy, right? You get the plaque beside your
100%.
Name.
100%. And if you said there was zero prize money for winning best ribs in the world, but you can have this trophy, I'm taking that every day of the week.
So is your trophy at your restaurant?
Yeah, it's front and center. When you roll in there, Rick's Cabinets did a fantastic job building this custom see-through trophy cabinet, and dead center of it with a light on it is our first place in the world. So
this is a pretty cool thing. I mean, I talk with lots of people who love to barbecue and have a passion for it. I can't say I've ever talked before to a world champion barbecue pitmaster, and we're giving you that chance, by the way, today as well. The phone line and the text line is open for you. 1-877-332-8255. If you have a question about grilling, barbecuing, smoking, anything, Mike is here and happy to take your questions, to take your call. What would you say if I were to ask you what the most common mistake is people make? I'm talking about just your backyard barbecuer throwing together something for the family for supper. Are there common mistakes people make?
Yeah, for sure. I think especially when they get into the big meats like brisket and pork and stuff like that, they're always rushed. They're probably always late. If the wife wants it ready at 6 o'clock, it's probably 9 o'clock. That meat will tell you when it's done. You don't get to tell it. So getting it done earlier and having a nice long rest for it so that you're ready to serve it when your wife wants it. And that's mm-hmm. probably the most important.
I think that the time thing is a big one. I talk with Belton Johnson, who's on this program regularly with It's Eatin' Time, and it's, mm-hmm. he loves using a smoker, but he always talks about, I mean, this, in some cases you're starting the day before. So you're not getting home at 5:30, pulling something out of the freezer and thinking that you're going to be lucky enough to be eating by 6.
Yeah, 100%. Like if you're doing those big meats, give yourself 12 hours plus a 3 or 4 hour rest. So you want to start at, 18 hours before you want to eat that thing.
So it's a mindset then. You're really changing the way, you're not throwing together a last minute supper. You need to change the way you think about it.
Yeah, exactly. If you want last minute barbecue, you're going to have to come into the restaurant because we got it ready there.
That's a good one. I like that. Yeah. So what would be, if I asked you, and I think that we might have snuck this question in the last time we had you, in terms of your favorite food to cook, to barbecue, what would it be?
I like ribs. And pork ribs, just because I won first in the world, they're still a favorite of mine. I eat them almost every night.
Can we just stop and absorb what you just said? Yeah. I mean, just because I won first in the world, again, not something everybody gets to say.
But. Yeah. And it's just, they hold a special place for me. But that being said, the beef rib is right there. So, mm-hmm. Between the two, I go back between the two and those are my favorite.
And your start in this business in barbecuing was pretty much just filled with passion, right? You just enjoyed this.
Yeah, 100%. I was just a backyard guy that just kind of kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And now here we are.
Right. Well, I'm not surprised to know some texts are starting to roll in, and we've got a caller as well. So we're going to take this caller if you want to throw those headphones on, because I want to bring Wayne onto the show. Wayne from Saskatoon. How are you today, Wayne?
Good, and congratulations, Mr. Barbecue.
Yeah, Mike Arnold is a world champion barbecue pitmaster, and I know you've got a question, Wayne. What is it?
Well, I've pretty much given up trying to barbecue steak. I don't know, I buy a good cut, and I do stuff, and I don't know, it just never seemed to work out, and I'm always unhappy with it. So, for the backyard guy who still wants a good steak, that's just my question.
So how do you go about that, I guess, is what Wayne is asking.
You mentioned you started with a good cut of steak, and that's definitely key. You can't cheap out on that piece of meat. If you do, you're going to need some extra skill there. But for me, I'm pretty basic. I like to cook them really hot. I'm cooking on charcoal. 3 minutes aside and off. But I'm cooking the strip lines. I'm cooking tenderloin, stuff like that. So
when you say you're cooking them hot, how hot are you cooking that?
I got my grill 600, 625, and it's just a quick sear on each side. But I'm starting with really, really nice meat selection. When I'm picking my meat at a butcher shop, I'm really picky, especially with the price of beef nowadays. It's super high. So when you go in there, I don't feel bad looking at, making that butcher look through 10 or 12, 15 steaks until they get one that I say, okay, that one looks pretty. It's got some nice marbling in it. It doesn't look like it's got a lot of, hard fats and stuff like that.
So it's some of it is selecting the right. I mean, that obviously is a pretty important part of this.
Yeah, meat selection is absolutely key, and buying the right cut for the style that you're cooking. If you're, you know, if you want to buy a cheaper cut, maybe some of those skirt steaks, stuff like that, you're going to want to, you want to marinate those things overnight before you start hammering them to the grill. But once again, I like it really hot. It sears it, it gets those juices kind of sucked in, and then give it a nice 10-minute rest once it comes off the grill. And
okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and we're going to kind of follow up with part two of this question with our guest, Mike Arnold, because there are a lot of people, and I'm going to tell a story when I come back of a disastrous barbecue I did the other night involving a couple of steaks that were not high-end steaks, but we did not marinate them. So I want to talk about the importance of that. You said yourself, if you aren't dealing with a higher-end steak, you're going to need a little bit of skill and expertise. I want to get that from you when we come back. Mike Arnold is my guest, world champion barbecue pitmaster. If you have a question, text line's open for you, as is the phone line, 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Manage Action will send you that good old Southern barbecue. We'll be singing high and low. We'll be rocking to and fro with a hidey-hidey-ho.
Frank, you went out of your way. Before the show even started today, Frank said, Ev, I got to tell you, I'm pumped up about this barbecue segment. All the barbecue songs that Frank could find and put in to this segment, we're chatting with Mike Arnold, who is in studio with us as a guest today, world champion barbecue pitmaster. He's also a restaurant owner, the brand new restaurant Smokin' Outlaws Barbecue in Regina, 20 block of Dewdney Avenue. Okay, Mike, we were chatting before the break. Wayne had called in and asked the question about basically a basic question about barbecuing steak, and talked about he's fed up, he hasn't had success that he would like, and you gave a bit of a formula for a prime cut of steak. Right. So, I think we need Mike's mic on. Frank? Sorry. I think there we got her now. So what about, and this is my experience, I bought a couple of steaks here a few days back. They were cheap, and they were literally pick them up on the way home, threw them on the barbecue, and they were tough. They were not, and I didn't feel like I overcooked them. Am I to blame? Is it the cook, or should we have taken the time to marinate these steaks?
Yeah, I think if you're in a rush, you want to pick up a steak on the way home, you're going to want to pick up a prime cut. You're going to want one that's already tender. If you're picking up a cheaper steak, something you're going to need to, you know, do a little bit of work with a marinade so you can start breaking down the meat and getting it a little tender, you know, 8 hours probably before you want to throw it on the grill.
Right. So do you use a certain type of marinade? Do you make your own when you're using a marinade?
I don't typically marinate my steaks.
Because you're dealing with usually the higher end.
Yeah, cuts. I'm dealing with higher end cuts normally. If I was going to do it, there's a ton of barbecue shops in town now that you can pick up a steak marinade and just use one of theirs, or you can whip something up on your own. But, right. You know, if you're whipping it up on your own, you probably use something like some type of vinegars and oils and maybe some lemon juice and stuff like that.
So much of this comes back to, I think, one of the opening answers you gave me today, where I said, what's a common mistake people make? And you said it's that they're rushed. They try and whip that supper up quickly when sometimes if you're barbecuing it, it requires a little bit of forethought.
Yeah, for sure.
Preparation. Sure. That's certainly the case for using a smoker. And I know we'll get to some questions on that. I've got some questions coming in on the text line, but I've also got another call on the phone line. So let's take this call while we've got Clark waiting by in Waukesha, Saskatchewan. How are you today, Clark?
I'm good.
Good. We're glad to have you. We got Mike Arnold in studio. So go ahead. What is your question for Mike?
I haven't done a brisket yet, Mike, and it's going to be my first time. I've asked several people. There's mixed reviews on if you wrap them in tin foil, if you cook them long, slow. I guess as a beginner, where do I skit on a smoker, like a Traeger or something like that?
Sorry, you kind of cut out there, but I think I got the gist of it.
Yeah, it's basically, where do you start with a brisket on, depending on whatever kind of smoker it is?
You know, for a Traeger, you're probably going to want to start it pretty low, somewhere in that 225 range, and let that meat sit on there and give yourself quite a bit of time building that bark. You're going to notice that meat's going to start turning. probably going to take you 8 hours. And we wrap all our meat at the restaurant, and everything I do, we're wrapping it in foil and tallow. So I would take your brisket trimmings, like the fat after you've done it. We render it down while the brisket's smoking in a tray. We rewrap that in the brisket with the foil, and we send it for another probably 3 hours on the smoker after that. I would give yourself a nice 12-hour cushion, and then a big rest after. So if you plan on eating it for, you know, supper on a Saturday at 6 o'clock, I'd be starting, you know, sometime around midnight the night before.
Wow. So what does the tallow do? I've heard other people that are connoisseurs of brisket and smoked meat talking about the importance of tallow. What does that do?
For me, what I find in our process, because we're cooking with wood, we build a really nice bark in 8 hours with that natural fire, and it's a strong, strong bark. If we kept building it for another 4 hours to get that brisket tender, I find the bark could be somewhat crunchy. So what we find is wrapping it in tallow, we're happy with where the bark's at, and it kind of softens that bark up.
I'm going to do this many times in this hour, but because I'm not an expert in this, when you say bark, you're talking about basically the outside of the brisket.
Yeah, exactly. And I think sometimes people look at a brisket and they're like, oh, it's black, it's burnt. If you've done it properly, it's not burnt at all. It has absolutely no taste of burning. Mm-hmm. It's black. It's the formation when that smoke hits the meat. It's a chemical reaction that happens, and it turns black, and it's just full of flavor. If you do it wrong and it tastes burnt, that's because it is burnt.
Okay. So I noticed you said you had a fairly, what I would consider a low temperature. What did you say? 225.
Okay. And on a pellet grill, the reason I say 225 is just because pellet grills, they burn very efficiently. So the smoke level that is coming out of those compared to, say, charcoal and wood mixed fire, the smoke level is a lot less. You get, the hotter you get with a pellet grill, the less smoke you get. So
right.
If you want maximum flavor, maximum smoke, you're going to want to be a little bit lower on those pellet grills, where I can probably get away with an offset smoker cooking at 275 and do the same job.
Are you always doing a brisket in a couple of stages? You talked about leaving it on there for a number of hours. You take it off, maybe put that tallow on it, and then put it back on?
Yeah, we're always doing that. Yeah.
And what about rest? How much time do you have to let it rest?
We like to rest 8 hours minimum.
Oh, is that right?
For what we're doing. Yeah. 8 hours minimum. Your guys at home, you guys don't have the same cabinets we have. If you're going to put it, wrap it in a cooler or something like that, you could go away 4 or 5 hours and it'll still be piping hot.
Okay. So. Very quickly, we've only got a minute left, but I did see a text here from Dan saying, I've got a neighbor that yells out tips to me about barbecuing, whether I want them or not. And he's always saying, low and slow, Dan, low and slow. Low and slow only appropriate for certain types of barbecuing.
Yeah, I think low and slow has gotten maybe a bit of an exaggerated name over the course of the last 10 years since I've been in barbecue. I think some people are like, oh, I cooked a brisket for 24 hours. That's great. And I'm like, no, you got to get that thing done in under 12 hours.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
There's a point where you're starting to make beef jerky. So,
okay, we're going to take our next break. Mike is with us right until 12 o'clock. Mike Arnold, the world champion barbecue pitmaster, here to answer any questions that you might have. 1-877-332-8255. Some questions coming in on the text line. We'll get to them next. Here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.
North side, south side, east side, or west.
Yeah.
I know where that barbecue's the best.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna tell you, cause here's the point. It took me too long to find the joint.
You did dig deep to get these songs, didn't you, Frank? It's good barbecue music right here. We are chatting with a world champion barbecue pitmaster. Mike Arnold is our guest in studio, and we're taking your questions at 1-877-332-8255. If you're like me, you are a very amateur but enthusiastic backyard barbecuer, and so any tip you can get from a world champion is never a bad thing. We talked about the fact, Mike, you've got a new restaurant in town. It's been open, what, a month now?
Yeah, not quite. We're rolling in on 3 weeks here. So
the restaurant is called Smokin' Outlaws Barbecue. It's on the 20 block of Dewdney Avenue, and we're getting unsolicited endorsements on the text line for your restaurant. I'm going to read this one. Sarah from Regina said, my husband and I went to Smokin' Outlaws soft opening a few days before it opened officially. It's so different than anything else Regina has. And this is exactly what Regina needs. The staff from the front door all the way to the service was unreal. Drinks, appetizers, meals, second to none. They got to meet you apparently after the meal and had a good chat. Found you humble. You weren't in a rush. she recommends everyone go and check out this restaurant. It's world-class barbecue. So there you go. That's a pretty good endorsement. That's a Google five-star endorsement right there.
Yeah, that's a fantastic endorsement.
So, but you are busy though, right? You, in fact, I know we were chatting off air. You said it's not a bad idea if you're coming down to think about making a reservation.
Yeah, for sure. You know, reservation, if you know you're coming, you can guarantee yourself a spot that way. Otherwise, you know, sometimes the waits at the door, they can be quite long.
So. Yeah. You are a humble guy, Mike. I'm going to say that. I've just in the couple times I've met you, for all that you've been able to accomplish on the world stage from a barbecue perspective. But you've had some riders in, and I understand maybe you've been a secret recipe for the 3-0 start we've had.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't want to jinx it, but you went there. Yeah, those guys, you know, a lot of them come from the southern states, so they're used to barbecue. It's, you know, naturally they were showing up in our restaurant, and they've been, you know, repeat customers. So, that's, you know, awesome. Hopefully they keep powering through and winning games.
I love it. Okay, we're going to go back to the phone line. I want to I've got a couple more callers coming in. We're going to start with Lance in Saskatoon. Lance, thanks so much for calling in. What's your question for Mike?
Hey, first off, congratulations, Mike. That's an incredible achievement based on the field that is out there. So good luck and in future endeavors. But my question is with respect to ribs. I have a Pit Boss vertical pellet smoker. I like it because I can really control the temperature. One of the things that I hear a lot of people talking about is this 3-2-1 method for smoking ribs. And I was just wondering what your take on that particular method was.
I think for me, I don't do it for just
what,
right
what
off the bat.
Can you explain what it is?
Yeah, basically they want you to throw, it's kind of a crutch. You throw 3 hours unsmoked, 2 hours wrapped, and then you sauce them and put them on again for another hour. So 3-2-1, that's your stage. And that ends up being like 6 hours of cook time. For me personally, I find it dries the ribs right out. It's just too long for them on the smoker. And it's very subjective to the size of the ribs and everything else. It's going to get you close. It's going to get you good ribs. For me, I'm two and a half hours max unwrapped. Then we wrap for an hour. We're done. So I'm cooking a little hotter though.
Right. And it's basically in an effort not to dry them out.
That's right. And I think pork, you know, with nice marbling and the good fats and stuff in there, you can cook it a little hot. It can take it. Like when I say hot, I'm talking 275, 285 degrees, somewhere in that range.
Right.
So
we've had a number of people text in on the text line about saying, for example, I have a barbecue, but I don't have a smoker. I'm thinking about getting one, but can I do the same thing on each? So can you grill on a smoker? Can you barbecue on a, you know, that kind of thing, back and forth?
I think if you're getting into it, a pellet grill is a great start to, it's a great starting point. I don't think they produce the best barbecue you can have, but they're also a very good all-around grill. I think if you buy one, you'll end up replacing your propane grill eventually and just using that. And because most of them go up to 600 degrees, so you can sear a steak. They can go down to 200 degrees if you want for really cold smoking and.
Sure. So I noticed George, for example, in Regina says that he uses his gas grill all year long. Would you be able to use the smoker the same way?
Yeah, I think if you have a good quality one, they'll, you know, there's a Yoder out there. They're a little high end and they'll run right through the winter. No problem. I've got a lot of experience on those ones. Sometimes heat retention can be a problem. You're burning extra pellets or something like that. So most of them have these cold weather blankets now, or you can even just throw a welding blanket over top and just insulated a bit.
Works the same way. Mike Arnold is my guest, world champion barbecue pitmaster, here answering your grilling and barbecue and smoking questions. Jeremy with a text, any tips on barbecuing lobster tails? Have you had some experience there, Mike?
Yeah, I did. I did a chef challenge down in Lynchburg, Tennessee at a world championship. And in that chef challenge, I did surf and turf with lobster tails.
And how did you do?
Fantastic. We took first place with a perfect score.
Nice. I love it. Okay. So you got a red ribbon in lobster tails.
And by far an expert in them, but that day they worked. I practiced them lots. For me, we butterflied them. So check out a video on YouTube or something like that. And you want to butterfly those lobster tails. And the biggest thing is not overcooking them. I cooked them quite warm, quite hot at the time because I didn't want a whole lot of smoke because those tails, like the fish, that lighter meat, it'll take on smoke flavor a lot easier than, say, something like beef. So you don't want to be eating an ashtray with that. So crank those temps up.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phone line now. I've got a person calling himself the Saskatoon Pitmaster. I like that. Nice. What's your question for Mike?
That was a joke to Frank.
It's all good. Who? What's your question for Mike today?
Yeah, good morning. It's Ian here. So when a person, if you don't really have the room for a barbecue, like depending on your living situation, you know, a barbecue or a smoker, and basically you have your oven. So, you know, you can wrap the ribs or you put them in a slow cooker, or, you know, or uncovered. What gets the closest to, like, low and slow despite whatever type of ribs, gets you the closest to what you might be preparing?
I guess if you were doing them in the oven, you're not going to form the same style of bark because you don't have that smoke. But like an oven cooked rib, you definitely could use the same process. You're just going to lack a little bit of that extra flavor you're going to get from the smoke. But I would still in the oven cook at probably 250, 275. And like I said, just I would wrap them after 2 hours and I would take them another hour and then check to make sure they're tender and then go from there.
All right. We're going to stay on the phone line. I've got Paul calling in from Saskatoon. Paul, you're on the air with Mike Arnold. What's your question?
Hey there, guys. We've got a Traeger and we love doing ribs, but my biggest problem is I can never figure out how much. I just use salt, pepper, and garlic, but I can never figure out how much to use.
How much spice to use, essentially.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, if you're using salt, pepper, and garlic, you're going to want to probably be careful with that pepper because you put too much of that on and it's going to be not great. For me, I'm looking for a black speckle across the ribs, and then I would lightly salt it. And then it's really just your preference as you cook them. If you like them a little saltier, you're just going to have to figure out that ratio.
1-877-332-8255 is the number. So we've got a couple of people, Trevor, one of them, wanting to know the best way to grill wild meat like deer so it doesn't dry out. He talks about often throwing it in a pan, frying it up with butter and spice. Have you got thoughts on wild meat? And I think the theme that I'm seeing on the text line is they don't want it to dry out.
And that's the biggest thing with wild game. I cook a lot of it for myself because I do like hunting. We obviously don't serve that in the restaurant, but it is quite a lean meat. So when you're dealing with lean meats, you don't want to overcook them. That's your biggest thing. So your friend is a temperature probe. You got to get yourself a really good instant temperature probe and make sure you're not overcooking that meat.
Are there any sites that you lean on? I mean, I'm guessing maybe not so much anymore. You've done this long enough, but like places that you can go for quick tips because people aren't always going to have Mike Arnold there to answer their questions.
Yeah. The average consumer, you probably can find most of the tips you need, filter through them on YouTube. There's great websites out there. The Barbecue League, if you're thinking about competing in barbecue, the Barbecue League's got a lot of pit masters from around the world giving tips and tricks on there. But just show up, talk to people. If you come into my restaurant anytime, I'll talk to you any day. So
yeah, it's Mike Arnold is my guest. The restaurant Smokin' Outlaws Barbecue in Regina on the 20 block of Dewdney Avenue. He's a world champion barbecue pit master. So there's a question here. We're going to take our last break. We'll come back and finish up with Mike. But a couple of questions I'm going to get to. One person venturing out for their first new smoker. They're going to make their first meal. It's a whole chicken on the weekend. How long and what temp do I smoke it? What would be a good rub? Those types of things. Also a question here about choosing a smoker, the pros and cons of pellet versus charcoal. So we'll get to those questions and more from you on the text line with our guest, Mike Arnold, when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Hot barbecue today!
Good morning and thanks for joining us. This has been a great hour. We're finishing up our chat today with Mike Arnold, who is a world champion barbecue pit master and just opened up a brand new restaurant in the city of Regina called Smokin' Outlaws Barbecue. So, Mike, there's a lot of people on the line asking questions around just the selection of a smoker. They're asking questions, you know, depending on, I guess, maybe what they're hoping to do with it is one of the things to consider. But when you're asked what type of smoker is best, pellet, charcoal, what are the main differences?
For me, I think, like, you know, pellet grills, they're charging a little bit of a premium, but they're easy to use. So they're, if you have absolutely no experience, a pellet grill is a great starting point. I think that eventually down the road, you're going to want to upgrade to a charcoal grill. That's probably a little less money than the pellet grill, but takes a little bit more skill. So,
okay. So what makes the pellet grill easier?
Well, most of them have a button and they have a dial that you can set your temperature and then you're off to the races. There's no fire to manage. The electronics are managing that fire for you. If you switch to a charcoal or live wood fire, now you're going to have to control some airflow and control your live fire and
right.
get it going.
It's interesting that you're saying price-wise, and I know you're generalizing, but the charcoal might be a little less expensive.
Yeah, charcoal grills are super basic. So, you know, basically a hunk of steel that you're putting charcoal in, lighting a fire. It's a really basic thing. There's no electronics. There's none of that stuff going on. Where like the pellet grill, you know, it's got some technology built into it. So it they charge you a premium for that technology.
Right. So one of the texters asking any advice for a first smoker purchase, you're saying a pellet grill might be easier if you're a novice.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not saying charcoal is extremely difficult to use. I'm just saying pellet grills are super easy to use.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Mike Arnold is our guest, Smokin' Outlaws barbecue restaurant owner and a world champion barbecue pitmaster. Lots of people have just checked out your website for the first time since we've been talking about it. Colleen from Buena Vista, likely going to be paying you a visit by the looks of her text here. We got a Dallas in Tisdale saying the Traeger app apparently has a lot of great recipes and stuff on it. So we were talking about good resource places people can go.
Yeah, that's for sure. That sounds great.
So here's a text from Greg in Regina. What are your thoughts about putting ribs in the Instant Pot before adding barbecue sauce and then putting them onto the oven or into the oven to caramelize them? That's just a different way, I guess, of cooking them.
Yeah, it's not something I would do personally because I like to cook with barbecues. But if you don't want to throw some ribs in there and get home from work, throw sauce on them and caramelize it, I think you're going to have a decent product come out.
So. I've heard of people using a sous vide to cook steaks ahead of time, and then you just basically are putting the grill marks on them on the grill.
Yeah, for sure. Sous viding steaks is a fantastic way and to do it. And basically at that point, you're cooking it to a certain temperature and hammering it to the fire as hot as it can to sear it in. So
there's a question here from Dwayne in Shelbrook. You mentioned letting steaks and brisket rest. Can you describe how for each? So for steak, for brisket, how long that should be? What method do you use?
Yeah, so our brisket, when we rest it, it's already wrapped in foil as part of our cooking process. But when we pull it out of the smoker, we're going to wrap it in saran wrap, and it's going to seal, number one, it's going to seal the moisture into that tin foil, keeps it a little cleaner. And then also just preserves that moisture. At that point for you in your house, you could wrap it in towels and toss it in a cooler. 5 hours later, that thing's going to be piping hot and ready to eat.
We've got Aaron in Swift Current. Just got my first smoker, planning on doing a small whole chicken this weekend. How long? What temperature should I smoke it? What would be a good rub? And do you inject the meat or just rub it?
If I'm going to do a whole chicken, I would spatchcock it. Number one, I would check that out on YouTube.
You are going to have to define that.
You're basically
I don't even know those words exist.
You're basically going to split this chicken, down the middle and you're going to flatten it out. It's going to cook more evenly that way. I would brine it for 6 or 8 hours. Cold brine it, make sure it's in the fridge. Obviously make sure that brine is cold before you put the chicken into it. Cause you don't want it to be warm. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, once you put your favorite rub on it, a lot of good rubs out there, some good local ones, like even Prairie Smoke and Spice has a great rub, all purpose, throw that on your chicken, and just watch that breast meat. You don't want to overcook that breast meat because if you do, you're going to wreck the whole cook.
Mm-hmm. Some good advice for you there. Do you make your own rubs, barbecue sauces, or do you go out and buy them?
Now, for us, we're making everything. Right now, we have a co-packer making our rubs for us. It's just easier on us. And they bottle it for us as well. You can get that at the restaurant. Our sauces, we still make in the restaurant. We're hoping to have a co-packer making our sauces for us to our spec here shortly.
And so then you would have those commercially available?
That's the idea, is have those commercially available as well.
You're a busy guy. Mike's phone's been going nonstop with deliveries and catering and those types of things. Mike Arnold is my guest. You also mentioned the restaurant closed Monday, Tuesday, open Wednesday through Sunday, and closed Monday, Tuesday just to be able to prepare for the week.
Yeah, we're closed. The building's full of people working. They're prepping. They're smoking meat overnight for the next opening day. And the biggest thing is keeping our quality high. Everything in that restaurant we're doing from scratch. So we need 2 days to just be able to prepare.
Mm-hmm. You've done a good job. I don't know if you were nervous about coming in, but this has been a full hour that you handled quite easily, Mike. So I'm hoping we can do this again.
Yeah, for sure.
Mike Arnold, thanks so much for being here with us. Thanks for answering some of our listener questions, and good luck with the barbecue.
Thanks a lot.
Mike Arnold, Smokin' Outlaws Barbecue restaurant owner. He's a world champion barbecue pitmaster, and you can check them out online. Smokin' Outlaws Barbecue in Regina. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.